was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor, while the hand they hold behind their backs confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls strings and makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings. There's a knife holds in.
RTR radio broadcast on RBN Network, and we have been discussing the arrest of Tom Lacovara Stewart, whom is our host, whom is one of the founders of Resurrect the Republic and a phenomenal individual. I do want to also make this clear. The commercials that are on the radio broadcast, that funding goes to the Republic Broadcast Network, which we are so thankful that they allow our show on their broadcast network. However, we do want to make that clear so that you understand that those commercials go for funding for RBN Network and not for Tom or Lori. So I just want to let you know that. So with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and go to a couple of callers. Eric, hang in there, because we're going to be putting out there also courtroom observers and plan on helping with this situation as well. I want to go ahead and take Jim. Jim, how are you doing this evening?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. How are you doing this evening?
Well, I caught the show after the initial. So, what has he been indicted?
Well, there is an indictment. I have seen the indictment. The indictment does not appear to be a real indictment. What I mean by real indictment
is spatially insufficient and defective in a number of ways.
Correct.
And there's like a half a dozen reasons that it could be, in and of itself could be thrown out. Lori can tell you more.
Yeah, correct. That's exactly what I'm speaking of. And so there was an indictment, and you can't even tell if a grand jury foreman actually even signed it. There is no file stamp for it being in the court records, which, of course, anyone who's seen indictments knows there's always a court stamp for that. It doesn't have anything under penalty of perjury. It doesn't say where it actually happened. It just claims Oregon. There's a lot of situations.
Can I interrupt you?
Yes.
Can I interrupt you? Okay, so
yes,
what is it that they're claiming? Whether it be a formal indictment or not, what is it that they're claiming he did?
Possession of a firearm by a convicted felon, federal charge, 18 U.S.C. 922 G1.
Okay, and this is resulting from when? When did this happen?
On or about January 23rd, 2016.
Is there any validity to it? Did he do this?
How many people could have had access to that hotel room and planted that gun there? The police dressed up as the hotel staff. The DHS was some national security letter.
Basically what we're looking at is they're finding an excuse to come after him.
Yes.
Outside of him just being there as media.
Pretty much.
Absolutely. Is that correct?
That's the way I see it. That's the way that I see it, by looking at
Okay, so they're just looking for an excuse. Okay. So they're just looking for an excuse because he was there as media. He made that very clear all along. Mm-hmm. I follow Tom every night. I listen to RBN daily, 24/7. So
thank you.
Basically, what we have is we have an attack, okay, on him for whatever trumped up charge they can come up with.
Mm-hmm.
Is that basically what you guys are seeing?
That's with what I'm seeing in this indictment. Okay, that's the way it appears to me. Okay. On top of that, even in the indictment, you know, it's sworn under penalty of perjury to be true and correct. That none of that is even in there. None of it. There's just so much that is absolutely insane about this. They claim that that happened in January. He's such a danger to society. It was dated on this indictment. It was dated September 21st, 2016. And then now Tom got picked up on Tuesday, which would have been the 6th. So he's such a danger to society. They waited all that time, almost 12 months. On top of that, you're talking, this is not a federal issue, because when you look up those codes, that is actually falling under the commerce of selling weaponry, because what they conveniently left out when they wrote G1, G1 falls under the subsections of D9, which is the buying and selling of arms. It's commerce is what they're trying to use it under.
Yeah, and one of the things that
basically my point is this is just a trumped up charge searching for any possible thing, which we all know that the administrative agencies have created so many regulations that, I mean, you can't even wake up and get out of bed without breaking a law.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So this is what we're dealing with, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And well, I fight for the Second
Amendment. Also, though, can you hear me?
This is, yes, but Jim, this is the other Lori. I fight for the First and the Second Amendment and children. And I'm going to tell you right now, their contract, their oath, all their paperwork, is trumped by one thing: shall not be infringed, which means all these little clauses that they think they can do are illegal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, and I don't understand care. That. And
yeah, I don't okay, care what your fear all... is. Your fear is not my problem, and that's to anybody else, not to you personally. Your fear is not my problem. If we have a felon, I don't care what they've done, but they paid their debt to society and gone to court.
Are you there, Lori?
I just lost her.
She dropped.
You lost somebody.
That would okay. be Lori. Let's try
Lori,
to get
can
her
you
back.
Hear me?
I can.
Okay. I just wanted to say something real quick. Hang on, Jim. One of the obvious questions about all this that we haven't
been
waiting for is the big why.
It is
why.
Not me
why?
That is supposed to get the Constitution is set up. And the
I've got a comment on that. I think what we're seeing, this may lend credibility to the fact that Trump may be the loose cannon outside the New World Order and actually interested in giving, you know, returning America as much as possible within the beast Antichrist system he's in to a sound footing. And what you may be seeing is the last gasp of a dying beast called global progressivism that's really pissed off that Kim Jong-Hillary didn't get elected into the new dictatorship. Dictator's a Roman word, by the way. Get it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I think you're seeing is a lot of, they're taking swipes at a lot of people as they're going down. And they're also running from the rope because hopefully Jeff Sessions will open cases on these people. And, you know, and if he does, we have to support that and let him know because they'll only do what the people kind of support them on in the government. It's going to be difficult for them to do the right thing if people aren't screaming for it. So that's why your voice does make a difference. But I think they're taking swipes at a lot of patriots as they're going down. They're trying to even the score and make it, you know, to just try to, it's pathetic. And it's very hurtful and destructive to people's lives, but I think they're just trying to whack away at us before the administration changes, because all this, I'm hoping, is going to stop when the administration changes in January. I'm assuming Jeff Sessions is going to get in and say, put the brakes on all FBI setting up people who are patriots because they got some minor statutory felony in their past. And after you comment,
and,
I want to tell you about it.
Can I make a simple point, and then I want to get off?
Yes.
Okay. We've watched what's happened with the Bundys.
Mm-hmm.
We're on an uphill climb mm-hmm. with all of that. So here we have a crazy transition, if it's even going to transition. But we do have an ability to approach Trump. And I don't know why more people on RBN aren't using it, because every time I come up with an idea, I'm going on the website and I'm giving them an idea. Great Again, I think it's greatagain.org, that's Donald Trump's site. We need to flood that site with, we have another political assassination going on here.
Mm-hmm.
And we need everybody on RBN and all the other so-called alt-right media outlets, we need to be flooding greatagain.org with our suggestions. I do it.
It has to be. I completely agree. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, we just need to do it because right now, these are political assassinations.
Yeah.
And
in the case of Lavoie, it was an assassination, physical.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
All coincides, because if you remember this crud that the Washington Post put out under that proper knot, and people were targeted as fake news. Well, then they had to backtrack on that because they got threatened with lawsuits. So Washington Post got called out for their fake news, but Congress is actually, and Rob Portman of Ohio actually was behind helping get it done, but they're sneaking some stuff into the National Defense Authorization Act for the year 2017 about quote-unquote stopping propaganda. So and if it was the Smith Month Act, I'd be all for that, because mainstream media has been hounding us with propaganda very hard since it's been legal in 2012, since that was passed through the NDAA of 2012. But what they're targeting, and we'll go into that on a different day, probably tomorrow, but what they are targeting, of course, is real media, because otherwise the antique MSM, they can't beat the real news, because people know that we're real news. We're putting out real news. We've got stuff to back it up. The antique MSM.
I can tell you this right now. I signed on to the Washington Post.
Mm-hmm.
I get daily email updates.
Mm-hmm.
And the updates that I get daily are just so far flung.
Mm-hmm.
The claims that they're making and the stories are—you almost have to laugh. It's
total
like,
garbage.
Really, really.
Mm-hmm.
They're stretching. They're freaking out. So we're doing the right thing, but I think that we need to. I think that we need to make our request to the new Trump administration and say, hey, here's what's going on. I think the Donald is pretty smart.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, and we don't have anything else at this point. We don't have anything else at this point.
We have each
outside
other.
Outside of going to the next box. And we don't need to go to the cartridge box.
No, hopefully never. Hopefully, anyway.
Anyway,
I'll stay in tune. What's going on with Tom? And I'm gonna send something tonight over to
Trump's
organization and say, hey, And everybody else should, too. Just say, oh,
yep.
A new political prisoner. Here we go. You need to look out for this guy.
Yeah, and if they say, well, what do you want me to do? Say, hey, we want a Patriot Protection Act or a Patriot Persecution Statute that makes it unlawful, the Patriot Persecution / Protection Act, and have it be very clear, real simple, with mandatory minimums, 10 years in prison for any federal corporate agent who violates that statute. There has to be immediate victim to the crime. No more of this,
and that is
the federal court is to prosecute
judges.
Crimes against the United States government. Crime was committed by Tom having a gun in the room.
Well, but then you come under, now we got new rules. No, he's an American.
Not really, because it goes along with 18 U.S. Code 241.
Yeah, but here's the problem with the Constitution. The Constitution and even the Bill of Rights and even the Articles, they don't have much teeth in them. We need penalty, period.
Yep,
there has
exactly.
To be penalty.
And the thing is, to go along with that, that's not
y'all.
Really something
love
new. Because
call,
under something, because of, with that being said, it's not really something new. They just don't enforce it the way that they should. It needs to be a little bit stronger, but 18 U.S. 241 has a little bit of teeth in it, but they get to pick and choose who gets indicted under it. That's one of the issues. They get to basically investigate themselves, and that is another issue.
In your post to greatagain.org or .net, whatever it is, so post in there what happened and say, these people, whoever's doing this, needs to be prosecuted under these codes.
Post a link to this show. They'll get the history, they'll get the facts.
And
they'll
post a link to the show.
You do that.
Now,
that's
all you got to do.
This is Lori. May I interrupt? Trump's team also reached out to Tom, and they asked him about his 14th Amendment research. So Trump's team asked him for help. So you're going to let somebody that you asked for help flap in the wind. Hello?
There you go.
You know, we need to hold their feet to the fire on this. You know, we've reached out. Now we're reaching out to you. We got Patriot Persecution. Let's go. Let's do something about this.
Okay, so everybody get on to greatagain.org and go post your wishes.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, thank
love
you
y'all.
So
y'all
much,
have a good evening.
Kim. We appreciate
you.
And we're going to go to our next caller. Chris, are you there?
I am this time.
Hi, Chris. How
good
are
evening,
you?
Good evening, Lori, and everybody, Eric, and the court watchers, and whoever else you got there, John, I suppose.
And John, yes.
Howdy, buddy.
The whole group is here tonight.
Well,
hey, Chris,
I'm
how you doing?
Okay, myself. This is obviously something that's going on a national or continental or global basis of these agencies being used as Obama's army to basically retaliate against anybody that loves America and tries to hold up our values, hold the feet to the fire. I had a U.S. attorney, Brad Miller, conspire with a special agent, Schaefer, over at the FBI to gaslight me, try to frame me with all kinds of false allegations, putting lies in my flipping criminal file, which I didn't have a criminal file before. Somebody's manufactured some false evidence to gaslight me to do a Chris Dorner or an Edgar Steele or Irwin Schiff on me.
Well, they
tried
to
get me killed here
Chris
and
Dorner
attempted
too.
To murder me. It didn't work out.
They gaslit Chris Dorner, too, let me tell you. That wasn't the real manifesto.
Well, of course not. That was the FBI's manifesto. They write those
things. These things aren't political assassinations. They go bad, people can get hurt.
Yeah.
Well, that's exactly what they did to Ted Kaczynski, too. He was trying to out the truth on all the diabolical stuff that was being done by those so-called scientists that they alleged he sent things to. And that little bitty shack they found and claimed they had a manifesto, I guarantee you the FBI wrote that one, too.
Well, I'm not going to say it was the FBI that wrote it, because I don't know that much. I do know that it is not the original manifesto was not 21 pages. It was only 11. It was not pro-gun control. It was not pro-Dianne Feinstein. I wrote a huge write-up about it when that situation was going on. Some anons actually got the video footage of when Christopher Dorner had reported the abuse on that
on that special needs man. They had the video of the special needs man out, the whole nine, and he went from every aspect lawfully that he could to get these people held accountable, and they were not held accountable. And then you researched Dorner's record, and he was like top notch. He was known for finding money on a on the military base and finding out who it belonged to and getting it back to them. So, you know, that narrative, that just didn't fit. I did find it a bit ironic that LAPD and all of those out there, though, they showed just how much and what they were made of, though. Because if you noticed, it was one man, right? And where were they? They were calling in the feds. They were calling in everybody. There was this huge manhunt. Certain ones were hiding in their houses. They were locking the police departments. They were genuinely terrified. And, you know, so that reality is, if they're that terrified that they have to bring out that many people to find one man, okay, just think about that, over one man, what is going to happen when you deal with the millions?
Full meltdown would not go well for them.
And I hope it never comes to that. I really do.
I'm a 65-year-old ADA guy. They sent about 18 of them after me. I must be a really terrorist threat.
Right, right. So, anyway, I have one more caller on the line.
One thing, Lori.
Go ahead.
Jeff from Idaho wanted me to suggest to you that the John Parks Trowbridge case, I'll send that to RTR if I can get the email to work. It wasn't working. Apparently they're tampering with emails, too. A lot of mine have disappeared. And when I go to type them in, they don't reappear. But I'll send that to you. And maybe you'll send me that list that you were reading off. It was pretty impressive, too.
Oh, the Social Security number codes?
No, all
yeah,
those different
it,
charges could be lying
so anybody can go up there and get it, maybe.
Yeah, I can actually do a scan of it and put it out there.
Thanks.
Yeah, that's not a problem. Not a problem. So anyway, I want everybody to please, prayers for Tom. Once he gets to where he's going, Lori, do you know if they're going to transport him to Oregon, when they're going to transport him to Oregon, or what that situation is?
They are going to transport him to Oregon. I do not have a time frame. The way they're acting is he's some kind of mass terrorist from ISIS, you know, the imaginary group. So I don't know when or what they're going to do. I know they're giving him a hard time in the prison. Just, you know, small mental things. But I told him to hang in there. And we know that's going to happen. Not letting him have his medication. There's just a lot of calls that we're going to have to set up and make once we get together to figure out what we need to do to make sure he's taken care of and we all get through this. But all of these guys, you know, all of them, we've got a big fight on our hands. We just got to do the best we can to make it happen and stay in together. We may not all like each other, but we all want one thing. We want our kids to have a future. And I can't keep saying that enough. When you say they will make sure it doesn't happen. You can look at these people in jail and you can put their name there.
And one of the things to address the why on a more mundane level, and I do agree that these guys are in their final throes of their death spiral and they're, you know, basically scorched earth policy at this point, and they're just going to bury anybody they can that they perceive to be a threat. And right now, it's, you know, their so-called fake news and alt-right media. But anyway, on a more mundane level, what there I think might be happening to the possibility is they go after people on, like in Tom with trumped-up charges in order to flip them. And, you know, the whole divide and conquer kind of thing, get us to, you know, testify against each other, you know, if they can, you know, threaten somebody like Tom with a, you know, 5 or 10 year prison sentence and get them to either pre-bargain it or flip them as a and become a state witness.
Yeah, well, that's not going to work with
them. Possibilities, and so sometimes when we pray, it's good to pray for specifics. You know,
right?
I would ask that everybody pray that that not be the case.
Right. And I did that during the Bundy trial. We found that out. And everybody's still, playing the games. That's the one thing I want to make sure we don't do. If you want to play games and you want to do gossip and you want to do all that, go find another case. I'm sure there's somebody that's really guilty that you can go and do this. But in the country that I was born in, it says shall not infringe is the federal contract with me. And I don't care who you are. You don't have any rules, any laws, any codes, any statutes, any clauses, anything to do with weapons, and it doesn't matter. That's the contract you had with me, and I was taught that from the day I started school and started learning about the Constitution. And until people start standing up saying, hey, wait a minute, I read that contract, and this is what you've told me all my life and taught me, and it's right there in your halls, and if you can't abide by your oath, then I think you're causing harm, and I'm a victim. I'm the one that you're hurting, and I think I need to see you in court, and you are the one that needs to go to jail with charges, not Tom, not all these other men, not Casey Massey's, none of these people.
You're here.
And,
well said.
It's time we stood up and talked the truth, do what we say we're going to do, and at every little level, I don't care if it's your city council, which my city council where I'm from loved me. They hated me at first. They did a background check on me. They had one of these top lawyers go and do all kinds of things to see how I was. And all I wanted them to do was recognize us as the public, which is in their legal form, and to stand up and fly right and not call the people guests. And we changed it because some of the members decided to change it. It took going in and sitting to a city where I resided in the county, not the city, and saying, hey, you guys made a mistake. If we can't start doing these little things, then where are we going to go? Mm-hmm. Look at your child tonight or your grandchild or your neighbor's child if you don't have children. And then go look in the mirror and say, what am I going to do to ensure that they have a life and the opportunities that I had when I was growing up? Because I'm telling you right now, we are the ones that are guilty. We are the ones that are at fault. And if we don't stand up and fight and we don't support each other, it's not going to happen. And I'm at my wit's end. I'm having a hard time. I'll get through it. So will Tom. Somehow, some way. But what are you doing? Let's get going. And we can use this case and other cases, like Eric was saying, with the Patriot Prosecution and Protection Act, and put it in memory of LaFoy Finnegan and in honor of all the political prisoners globally, and say, no more. We've got to do that.
Absolutely. And on that note, we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Only a fool would go to a plumber for brain surgery. But otherwise intelligent people use internet searches to find such gems as Lee Harvey Oswald killed JFK with 3 shots from the rear and 1 shot from the front. They get similar financial guidance when they are investigating cryptocurrencies. RBN listeners know that American currency has not been lawful money for nearly 50 years, since the thieves at the Fed stole the silver out of the coins and began reneging on redeemable notes in 1968. Now that the dollar has just about inflated totally away and banks want reverse interest to keep your books, the high-tech world has brought you an alternative. What if you could buy, sell, and trade with fellow business people from your home with zero bank fees? If you believe banking tyranny must end, then join the digital currency movement now. Call investigative journalist Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report, 12 to 3, Monday to Friday. Call-ins are welcome to the show. You can order at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
How you doing? It's Jimmy here from Zepa. Today I wanted to tell you about my efforts to achieve global elimination of snoring. It all starts with respect. Respect for yourself and respect for others. Listen, you think you're being a nice guy or a nice girl by letting the guy or girl next to you sleep and snore every night. It's the ultimate disrespect to have that happen. You wake that person up and you tell them, go to Zepa.com now. Zeppah.com. We're not going to tolerate this, all right? Snoring is not okay. Someone next to you is snoring, you tell them to buy a Zepa. Zeppah.com. I know that you're listening to these snoring things and you're thinking, well, it don't apply to me. I don't have these problems. A lot of people are in denial, but it's true. Listen, if you're snoring, you gotta stop it. What you gotta do is get this fixed. Get a Zepa and change your life. Zeppah.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is Lori Anderson. Welcome back to Resurrect the Republic, RTR Truth Radio broadcast on RBN. I want to thank you for joining us this evening. We have been discussing the arrest of Tom Lacovara Stewart by the federal government. And I want to say this before I pull on our next caller. And I want you to really, really think about this. The thought pattern of guilty until proven innocent within society today is causing and has caused many innocent people to go to jail and or prison. This thought pattern is what has fed the beast of the fictitious courts to be able to lie, manipulate, twist, and abuse everyone's natural right to a fair trial, which you and everyone else has had from the first breath that you have took. Sadly, society today would have also crucified Jesus Christ himself. Why? Jesus Christ chose to remain silent when questioned by Pontius Pilate. He too was judged by those corrupt, hate-filled power elite that were the religious leaders of that time and was brutally crucified. Innocent blood was spilled, all in the name of social justice. We claim we believe in innocent until proven guilty. But yet, when allegations are set against people, the first thing people do is they either stand in the fight to stand for their unalienable rights and the unalienable rights of others, or they go, well, I can't touch that because he was accused of this and he may have had a previous history. Well, let me tell you something, and Lori is absolutely right on this. Once somebody has been convicted of a crime and they've done their time and paid their fines, anything above and after that is cruel and unusual punishment.
Lori, there is you brought up the Lord. I would like to read something from the Massachusetts Grand Jury in 1802. The laws of the Christian system, as embraced by the Bible, must be respected as of high authority in all our courts, and it cannot be thought improper for the officers of such government to acknowledge their obligation to be governed by its rule. Our government, originating in the voluntary compact of a people who in that very instrument profess the Christian religion, it may be considered not as a republic Rome was, pagan, but as a Christian republic.
I might suggest that is also restated in Public Law 97-280, which says the Bible is the word of God and urges men to learn and apply it.
Mm-hmm. Can you please send that to me, Chris?
I will concur.
Chris, can you please send that to me in the RTR email you have?
Sure.
So what I'm sharing with everybody who is listening, and you know this is not a new stance. I have said this about so many individuals. We've sat on this radio show. We have fought for their rights. They've had previous convictions. So what? You know, every human makes mistakes. Every human being has sinned and come short of the glory of God. And here's the thing. You either use it as a stepping stone or a stumbling block. But we human beings, even though we are fallible, we still are the ones who are the employers, and the employees are attacking the people for victimless crimes over and over again. How can we be land of the free and home of the brave when we have 2.5 million people sitting in private prisons in the United States of America for victimless crimes? We're not. And what kills me on this fact, President Obama released over 60,000, that's a very low number of it. I'm not going to go into the other because I don't want to misquote it wrong. Over 60,000 known convicted felons, convicted of murder, convicted of rape, and all of the above. Now, do we know if those individuals got a fair trial? We don't know, but we do know they're criminal aliens that were not supposed to be here in the first place. And instead of being released and sent back to their country, they were put onto our streets. Yet American citizens sit in these jails rotting. The American people sitting in these jails rotting. So the individuals who are criminal aliens are not only getting more from our system, they are being shown to be above this system as well. And that's not acceptable. And
artful invasion to take our nation down, or our republic down, take our republic apart, or set it against each other, and destroy it however they can until we slowly and from the inside out.
So we got to fix it quickly
from the inside out.
You know, I will probably make people mad when I say that we don't need those prisons. If everybody was armed the way they were supposed to be armed in the first place, we wouldn't need these prisons. Because if somebody's truly, if they're armed and they are truly a super violent individual, then, you know, they're going to be dealt with. Not in vengeance, not in hunting them down. If you're in the act of committing a serious thing like murder, don't you think someone who's armed is going to defend themselves? I mean, the police state feeding into them, protecting us, is an illusion. And the craziness of this is, Lori, when you said that they're treating him kind of like a terrorist, that goes back to the SPLC thing. Remember a while back, I also released that document that they had written, and it was talking about the Bundys being terrorists, remember? So,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so with all of that and how the SPLC gets by with it, it makes me very angry because the local police departments are given these documents by the Department of Homeland Security, and they're going to take it as gold. They're busy, they're tired, they're overworked, they're worried about the crime right there on their streets. They get this document. They have no reason to believe that it's going to be a lie. They have no reason to go research it in their mind. Go research it, guys. Find out where it really comes from. Find out the SPLC's connections. You know,
that's
communism.
The Southern Poverty Law Center, correct, Lori?
Yes, it is. Muslim Brotherhood, communism. They're not anything for anything, and they're letting these documents go into training the military and going into DHS and funneling down into our local law enforcement agencies, which makes us, people who truly love our people of our union, every bit of our people of our union.
Hey, Lori,
speaking of that,
One of the things I noticed about the courthouse in Camden, the federal courthouse, mm-hmm. Anybody in New Jersey, New York, or the area, go to that courthouse and go on the second floor. There's a painting there for the unions. And it states that it's by a socialist artist. And I approached the attorney about it. I said, we're a republic, and socialism was the Nazis. Mm-hmm. And why is that sitting in the courtroom here, in your face, socialism? I said, the judges vowed an oath to keep the republic. Congress has vowed an oath to keep us a republic. Mm-hmm. Somebody's doing something wrong when in our own federal court buildings, we have socialist paintings and socialist people openly being praised mm-hmm. right there in your face. Mm-hmm. And it was so shocking because in Texas, that wouldn't fly. I'll tell you that right now. But the people up here up north, they're great people. But, you know, I watched a video tonight by Dr. Descent about morons and how people are morons. And it's dead on. Nobody wants to research. Nobody knows. Nobody thinks. And I was there myself before.
Mm-hmm.
And it's right in your face. And you don't get offended. You don't say anything about it. You don't get it taken out. If it's that little and you can get that picture taken out of there, please get it taken out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the little things matter. They're telling you with signs and symbols right in front of your face. Mm-hmm. And we can go on and on every day, but until people start standing up, man, you can go on the weekend to the courthouse and look at it. You can walk around your town and see things. You can make phone calls during the day in your lunch hour. That's what I used to do when I had a normal job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I lost it due to my activism. When I had a normal job, my lunch hour was making phone calls. They are important, and they work. And
mm-hmm.
when you start to get known, they invite you to their office.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite impressive when your servants actually start to act like it.
Right. And, you know, that's a good point. I want to pull Eric on that thought. Because Eric of Courtroom Observers, he can tell you the audience really is who he needs to be telling. Tell him how important it is for these calls, Eric,
the calls help. They do. Let me tell you about the Stephen Dean case. Exactly the same charge as the one being levied against Tom. This is about 2 years ago when the Courtroom Observers started getting national, kind of the first time, and I got a call from the girlfriend. I don't think Stephen will mind me telling this story. It was very public at the time. I get a call. Stephen Dean was a National Liberty Alliance member before they got taken over by the feds. And he was state coordinator for Utah and tribal medicine man in his Native American reservation. Anyway, he had a minor statutory felony in his past. 11 years go by. Two guys befriend him who turned out to be undercover FBI agents. They gave him a call once, you know, obviously before he knew who they were. Said, hey, you want to go take a few shots out at the Hot Springs target range, wherever it was? And he said, sure, no, great. And he didn't have, he said, I don't have a gun. But they said, no, we got the gun. Don't worry about that. Come on, let's go. So they went out there. He took it. I think he took two or three shots at the target. Plink, 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 and went home. And 2 months after that, they called him to have a hot dog up at the hot dog stand, and the FBI, U.S. Marshals kick him, throw him down, twist his arm, smash his head into the ground, the whole rough him up thing, because he had touched that gun and taken three shots at the target range, not his gun, theirs, that means the FBI agents undercover. He was charged with 18 U.S.C. 922 G1, the identical charge that Tom is being charged with. So I've been here, done this on this one. So, you know, we just put it into action. I knew the only I knew that I had seen, even at the early days that I had hooked up with the National Liberty Alliance, not with them anymore because they have way many issues now. We could go into another time. But I saw that their paperwork was really good and sometimes brilliant, but activism trumps paperwork every time. I've seen the witches' court bury lawsuits, bury habeas corpuses, keep people locked up for 6 months, ignore, tell you don't have standing, lose your paperwork conveniently, all kinds of criminal activity in the courts. We know what's going on. So I realized activism was Trump's paperwork. So I just organized as many phone calls as I could. And Sheriff, here was a gauge of how many calls came in. Sheriff Jim Tracy of Utah County. Oh, by the way, they arrested Stephen. I'll get back to the phone calls in a second. They arrested Stephen, took him to 60 miles from his tribal land to Utah County, from Millard County to Utah County, where the hardcore jail was in Salt Lake City, where all the gangbangers and the real hardcore criminals were, on a Friday, late afternoon, and told the jailer, put him in general population and don't let him have any visitors. Okay, so I know what that means. They're going to hire some gangbanger for $5,000 to shank him. That's, I could read that a mile away. So I knew that, you know, we had to do this now. So within 24 hours, we placed a few hundred phone calls on him. And within like a week, there were thousands of calls coming in because we promoted it on the internet through social media, Facebook, Twitter, whatever, online postings, websites, everything we could think of, including just raw texting to everybody who I had developed a relationship with who would either come to me for help or I had contacted. Most of them had contacted me either to say, hey, I want to join Courtroom Observers or, hey, I need help or something. And so anyway, I had a bunch of hundreds of people I could text and say, hey, call immediately. This is an emergency. We need the calls now. So that it puts public eyes on his case so that he doesn't get killed in jail. That was the immediate concern. So anyway, Sheriff Jim Tracy of Utah County told one of the observers out there, he said he was getting hundreds of phone calls. That probably means close to 1,000. This was in the early days. And he was trying to return all of the phone calls to his credit. So anyway, Stephen basically got held for 82 days. And the United States attorney made the case that we need to hold Stephen Dean for his political beliefs because he's a member of a group that is anti-government, and they were labeling the National Liberty Alliance as such at the time. And so now this Constitution for the Nation, the National Constitution and the State Constitution for Utah, both say the writ of habeas corpus, bail shall be provided except in cases of a capital offense, that means murder. Stephen Dean had not only not killed anybody, he hadn't even done anything. He took the gun. Oh, and by the way, if you read down the 18 U.S. 922 G1, you go down about seven more lines, it says, anyone knowingly placing a firearm in the hand of the convicted felon is also guilty of a felony, punishable by God knows how many years in prison, I forget. But yeah, so the FBI had to commit the felony first before he did. So their felony preempted his. That put them in a very sticky situation. Oh, and by the way, because we got on this right away, and within 24 hours we're talking to the jailer who was actually holding him, Sergeant Hansen, at the Utah County Jail. I said, hey, Sergeant, can you look at the search warrant for me? And she said, sure. I said, who is the signature? Which judge? Because we were going to call the judges, give him some heat. And she says, there isn't one. I said, there isn't one what? No signature? No, there's a signature. It's just not from a judge. It's from his clerk. It is clerk signing federal arrest warrants and a major FBI arrest. You can't do that. It says signature from a judge, and it has to be that way, or the case isn't going to go anywhere. Long and short, after 82 days, Judge Benson of the 4th District, Utah, said at the Stephen Dean release hearing, said, I got 25 calls in the last 24 hours on this case. This is 82 days after his arrest, and the judge is still getting 25 calls a day. He said, I spoke to one man directly. That was me, because I actually talked to him early in the case and had a few words with him myself. After that, he got a secretary when the case became big, and he said, I don't see any Al-Qaeda here, and that was huge. He said, all I see is people who care about Stephen Dean and want to see justice done. That was huge because it totally shot down the government's argument that patriot equals terrorist, and everybody must have been really well-behaved because there wasn't a lot of complaints. People were just really concerned that this was political persecution, i.e. what's going on to Tom right now. So this is like a total reliving of the whole Stephen Dean case. And the phone calls do help because the judge mentioned it at the release hearing on the record. If anybody doubts it, call Judge Benson's clerk and ask her to send you a certified copy of the Stephen Dean release hearing. And he mentioned how he didn't see any Al-Qaeda, and that was really good because it kind of put a certain veil of protection over at least what we were doing, because he could have said, well, these crazy courtroom observers are calling and threatening me, and I used you, blah, blah, blah. He didn't. He was very nice, and he said, you know, we were polite, and he was polite about it, and we all kind of shook hands and walked away. Now, they should not have held Stephen Dean for 82 days. That was unlawful and criminal in of itself, but they made him sign a piece of paper, and he walked. He was looking at 50 years. That's, I think, the maximum penalty for this 18 U.S. 922 G1, possession of a firearm by a convicted felon. And both Tom's felony previous and Stephen Dean's felony were both nonviolent. They weren't any. They were minor statutory garbage, like stuff like DWIs and, you know, drug possession, you know, stuff like that we're talking. We're not talking armed robbery or rape. We're talking minor statutory offenses that were completely nonviolent. Neither one of them, I don't believe, involved any firearms.
No.
Just like Shane Bennett did, went down, and his was state. So you got to be careful. Some state laws are being passed that mimic the federal law. That, well, if you have a convicted felony, you don't want to be, you know, you be careful who you advertise the fact that you have guns in your house.
Right, and not only that, they mimic the UNODA is what they're really
mimicking. The game they're playing. And so they find people with felonies in their past, like Stephen, like Tom, like Shane Bennett, and they key in on, and if they're patriots, they key in on these people, and they'll set you up any way they can. I'm sure they'd go as far as to plant a gun in a room. And I don't see how they can say this is Tom's gun with any certainty. And the burden of proof's on the state to prove he's guilty. He doesn't have to prove he's innocent, no matter how convoluted they're trying to make it. And, you know, with all the people that could have had, that did have access to that room, I don't see, you know, how this charge. And by the way, what crime against the United States Corporation was being committed by Stephen Dean, Tom LaGuevara, having a gun in his room? So
and
this is why we got to get
authority, people
awake and educate our brethren and our fellow Americans that, you know, there has to be a victim to have a crime. That's the most fundamental precept that we can do in this. That, not only does there have to be a victim, and the state cannot be a victim because it doesn't exist, it's of the mind only, jury nullification. The jury has the final say, and you can judge the law as well as the facts in the case. And the jury can say, you walk away and go home a free man, because this law stinks. And people need to always retain that. And that's, if you have to do some activism, the most important thing you can do at a grassroots local level, after donating a few bucks to Tom, is go out to the courthouse and pass out jury nullification flyers on jury selection day. I've seen the witches' court just completely go into a total tizzy and a panic, and there's nothing they can do. Because if you're not blocking any doorways and you're on public property, you have every right to pass out literature. Try to make it non-specific. So don't make it case-specific and name any names of trials that you're trying to advocate for. Keep it general. And that way, they won't try to tell you you're trying to stack it anyway. It's the best way to go. It's just general information on jury nullification. They have the right to judge the law as well as the facts in the case and find the defendant not guilty, even though they were technically guilty of violating the statute in question. And with all these fake, bogus, made-up statutes, like your caller before said, you can't walk out your door without committing a felony or two or three, it's absurd. We're living under, once again, a Roman dictatorship. And I want to read one last thing, and then I'll sign off and yield to you guys. Looking in my Roman history, I want you to chew on this sentence, folks. It's real short. Listen to this. This is in the year 212 A.D. This is a part of Roman history. In 212 A.D., all free men of the empire became citizens. What's with the transition from one to the other, Lori?
They became subjects.
Correct. That's why when you were talking before about sovereign citizen, it's an oxymoron. A sovereign is an independent and has freedom and their own liberty and their own prerogative. And a citizen is a subject of a higher entity that is not godly, that is of this world, and that's why they want everybody to always call you citizen. Citizenship when you cross the border from Toronto to get back into the United States. Citizenship. And that's why I'm sure your calls have heard you talking about you're not a citizen, you're an American, you're not a U.S. citizen, you're an American national.
That was funny they said in court today. They read a statement that if Tom's not a U.S. citizen, they'll send him back to his country.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go back to my country.
Okay.
And I want you away from my land. Pardon?
That's whatever state he resides in. This is country.
Yeah,
we're
the
a union
state,
of individual
that's his country.
States. Not as state as we know them now, but states as independent nations. State has multiple
Absolutely.
Meanings.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So they're just sending back
state.
To New
you
Jersey.
Put the term nation
yes.
State. So anyway, people yeah. get involved. We'll try to get you some phone numbers to call, but use your imagination. Do your own investigation. Be a, you know, get out there, yes. make some phone calls. You're looking for the, we want to find out where Tom is going, if possible, and we're pretty sure he's going back to Oregon. And don't forget to put the heat on the judicial vicar. He is the hands-on court manager for the Vatican in your diocese, in your county, in your area where you live. You can go online mm-hmm. and type in diocese of and then whatever city that's nearby you, usually a bigger mm-hmm. city they're attached to, and you'll see there's a vicar general and a judicial vicar, and they manage the courts, and I can prove it. I'll do it in another show. But that's where the real power is. And, you know, who's judicial do y'all think they're vicaring? I mean, if they're vicaring, the judicial vicar has already admitted that they're over our courts, to not only Lori, who's on this call tonight, but several mm-hmm. people I know. And, we actually get results when we call the judicial vicar. So put the heat on them to be polite, but be firm. Let Tom go now.
Right. Absolutely.
And I wanted to point something out. A couple of facts. This is John. The gun that was in the room was not on Tom's person. I want to make sure everybody understands that. So they did
right,
not
in his actual possession.
Okay, indulge me
possession.
This is a big one for me. Indulge me two more minutes because that's a huge point. The
well,
word
we've got
possession.
That's all we've got
all
right, is 2 minutes, guys.
The word possession is defined in the dictionary as actual holding or occupancy. That says actual holding. Or occupancy. So if you have to either be holding it if it's an item, or you have to be in it if it's a piece of property. The government is claiming, and the lawyers and the attorney bar prostitutes are all claiming, oh, there's something called constructive possession. And I've seen the district attorney hold up his keys and say, you see these keys? If there's something out in my car, I possess it because I have the keys to the car. Sorry, Jack, you can't fart around with the language anymore. You have to have actual holding in your hand to be in possession of something. You can't say it's constructive possession. That's the legal term they're going to prosecute him on. We need to wake people up and let them know. There's no such thing as constructive possession. If it's not in your hands, you don't possess it. Proximity is not possession. Having access to the thing, if you wanted to go get it, is not possession. That's having access. So that
well,
is
if you said
crucial
that,
that
then,
we take
then he would
the
be
language.
In possession walking into Walmart if they wanted to do it that way.
Yeah, and thank you guys for your prayers. They're needed.
You're very welcome. Everyone, please donate to TomLockerBear at gmail.com and send them your support, your love, your prayers. Make sure to the email for PayPal to be able to send a gift to Tom and Lori is TomLockerBear@gmail.com. They really do need our support. And they have been supporting us for many years, and it's time for us to step up and help support them. We love you guys. As always, watch your backs and check your facts. And until tomorrow, you have a blessed evening.
I'm not interested in photo ops.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
This is RBN. The Republic Broadcasting Network.